Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Did Sasha Banks make the right decision to leave WWE? I am Luke Owen, DAD, your Jam That champion and Quizlemania champion. My arm is still sore and I can't hold my belt, but I can put my Quizlemania trophy on the desk just to remind everyone who the champ is.
Just insert that fist right there.
I'm always about putting fists where they don't belong, Pete.
Always fist in the conversation.
Yeah. And I'm joined by Chopper Pete Quinnell. We are two-thirds of the Blackpool Content Club. No Tempest this week. Some people thought, actually, because we did our live reactions. Mm. We posted up reactions, not live, were they? We posted up our reactions to the Sasha Banks debut in New Japan and, of course, the Omega Ospreay match, which is, you know, it was match of the year until Team TNA versus the Acclaimed on last night's, on Wednesday's Dynamite, overstepped Omega Ospreay. They had a fun 12-hour period as the best match of the year, but, you know, there's only one Jeff Jarrett. So people were surprised, like, hey, I'm really shocked you didn't have Tempest doing the reactions with you.
Yeah.
He's in Canada. Still in Canada, so it would be very tricky for us to have him on those reactions, but he is in Canada. We are here, though.
Yes, we are.
We're putting in the work, Pete. Not like Tempest.
Not like Tempest, who's spending time with his family and friends. Disgusting behavior.
What a dickhead. Yeah. Anyways, Pete. So I kind of talked about my... I gave my reaction to... Sasha Mercedes Moné's debut in New Japan Pro Wrestling at Wrestle Kingdom 17. If you haven't seen the news at all, if you've been under a rock, go and watch our reaction to it as well. Lolly Davis and I recorded our reactions as we watched it live. What did you make of it?
I thought, from a pure like spectacle, very cool. I was really on board. Just seeing Sasha Banks walk down a New Japan aisle, I was like, this is weird. It's the same kind of like surreal feeling that I had when I saw AEW Cody step out of WrestleMania. I was like, this doesn't make sense. Why are you here?
Yeah.
That doesn't work. But I thought Sasha looked like a superstar coming out. She had that real like superstar presence, the big entrance kind of thing, which is kind of what you want from a big like Wrestle Kingdom show. So that was really cool. I thought her promo was, you know, it was all right. It's a Banks promo, or a Moné promo, I should say now. So it was all right. But I think I'm more in love with the idea than I am necessarily the execution.
That's a really nice way to put it, actually. I said, kind of echoing what you said, the visual of Sasha Banks being in a New Japan ring was, and holding the IWGP Women's Championship. I know it's a very new belt, but it was still like a, huh, that's odd.
It's strange. Yes.
It's a very weird thing to see. Oddly as well, because when Kenny Omega made his entrance, I wasn't like, oh, it's so weird. I was like, oh no, this feels right.
It's New Japan Kenny again.
New Japan Kenny's back because he's just doing Final Fantasy VII references. This just totally makes sense. Yeah. Why haven't we had this Kenny in AEW at all ever? But I would say that the reaction to it was mixed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think actually now, I hadn't really considered it until you just mentioned it then, but that there are those of us that like the idea of it, or you know, what this kind of means going forward, mm-hmm. as opposed to the actual moment itself.
Yeah.
I was listening to Going in Raw's review of Wrestle Kingdom, and they really liked the Kairi Tam Nakano match, which I thought was good. It was fine. It only went 5-6 minutes, so I didn't really have a chance to make much of anything. That for me actually it was a big disappointment. But they were like, you know, I thought the, like, they even said, oh, I thought the move that Sasha did was really cool. And I think a lot of people would agree that I don't think it was executed to its best.
No.
Because she was clearly going for a gory bomb DDT, which videos are going online. That's what she was training down in Mexico. Kairi either over-rotated or there was some miscommunication. I thought she was going from a gory bomb into an armbar submission.
Yeah.
But she sort of stopped that, and it was meant to be an impact move.
Yes.
And I don't think it quite, no pun intended, landed the way it was supposed to.
Yeah, it's a shame, because you want to have your cool, like, this is my one thing, and it kind of cemented her as the very much the heel in the feud kind of thing, having to do the move. And when the move doesn't quite connect how you want it, it's just like, ah, the impact of it has not, it hasn't worked quite the way you wanted. But, like, I think if you look at it as an objective, in a vacuum, you look at, this is a wrestler coming down to a ring and not hitting the prettiest looking move in the world, and the promo was all right. If you look at that in a vacuum, it was, I can understand why people would be disappointed in it. But if you look at the actual significance of what is happening, it elevates it to, you know, like, superstardom. It's unprecedented what's happening.
This is the first big name, I would argue, that, you know, you could argue that Swerve and Lee kind of fall into this, because they reportedly did turn down the there was a report last year that WWE made calls to Lee and Strickland to be like, we'd love you to come back. And they said, no, we're going to stay here.
Yeah.
But they're contracted wrestlers, so it's very difficult for them to get out of said contract. Andrade is finding his ways of doing that. But Sasha Banks / Mercedes Moné is, I would argue, the first big name that has turned down the new regime of WWE to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I think that is quite, that's a hell of, again, no pun intended, a statement to make, and one that I think we will see, I don't know, like, one that might make waves this year, because we've seen so many people return to WWE that had been fired previously or had left previously, decided not to re-sign during the Vince era, go back because Triple H is now running creative and Stephanie is co-CEO with Nick Khan, that it's a new era. Yes, it is for WWE, and they're choosing to go back there. But Banks opted not to. There was an offer on the table, and she said, no, I'm going to go here instead.
Yeah, and it's so strange to me, the dynamics that were at play, specifically at Wrestle Kingdom, with so many different promotions being represented. WWE's Karl Anderson was on the show, AEW's Kenny Omega, and then you had Sasha Banks coming in, former WWE talent. You had FTR were there as well. It's just like all these different pieces from different places, like Bayley was backstage, you know, and Naomi was reportedly over there as well. Like all these different pieces coming together to form one big show. But having Banks kind of make that statement, we're gonna keep saying it, I'm sorry, to actually reject the Triple H era of WWE is a very big deal. And not only to go to AEW, but to do what she wants to do. She clearly wants to wrestle in Stardom. She wants to wrestle Kairi. Like, that is what she wants to do the most. And she's just saying, well, that's what I'm going to do. Sorry, everybody else. I'm going to go do this.
Like, even in, like, the interviews that she did, she was, like, you know, naming the Stardom wrestlers that she wants to wrestle. And it was fascinating to see, because I would say, you know, particularly with our audience, and actually I would say with us in the office as well, we're not as au fait with Stardom as, you know, there are people that, you know, I would look towards Karen Peterson, or I would look towards Church of Joshi, and going in Raw for, you know, like, hey, you know, kind of tell me some things about Stardom that I should know. Or tell me some names that I would need to know. Like, hey, can you recommend me some Stardom matches that I can go watch? But Banks / Moné is like, no, I'm just watching this. Like, this is actually the style of wrestling that I really enjoy watching. That's the place I want to go, because that's the style of wrestling that I want to do.
Yeah.
I think that's really commendable. Absolutely. I think it's massively so. She is carving her own path.
That is precisely it. It is a refusal to go along with what is perceived to be the best choice.
Yeah.
and just saying, no, I know what the best choice is for me, and I'm going to go do that. I'm going to do what makes me happy. Because she's already put in the work to be able to make that choice. And now she's like, well, now I can make that choice. I'm going to do it. Fair play to her.
The reaction, we said earlier, like, the reaction was, I'd say, mixed. Mm-hmm. I think because the promo wasn't the best promo that you've ever heard in your life. The gory bomb DDT didn't quite work. Mm-hmm. Also, because it's a New Japan crowd, they don't react in the same way that a WWE or an AEW crowd work. Also, because there's still COVID restrictions over there, it's only portions of the audience were allowed to cheer. So what, you know, Banks is met with is sort of polite applause for certain parts of a promo. It was it's respectful of you know people kind of promo. It's not like cheering and things like that. What I found very interesting, you know, I was kind of going through the comments that were left on our reactions video and the one that we did for the breaking news video we did over on WrestleTalk, is, and it was something I hadn't really thought of or expected. For some people, this will be the first thing they've ever seen of New Japan. I kind of had it in my head that we all got into New Japan when they started doing English commentary.
Sure.
So like 11, 12 was like, we knew of New Japan Pro Wrestling, but the vast majority of us really got into the company around that time.
Yeah.
Because they started doing English commentary. Then there was the launch of New Japan World. Chris Jericho went over there to do that stuff. And that was kind of like, you know, a lot of like the Western audience's big first exposure to New Japan and then sort of understanding what the crowds are like. But going by the comments that were left on the videos, this is the very first thing some people will have seen, because they're like, she came out to No Pop. And I read that and I'm like, well, yeah, of course, because of X, Y, and Z we just explained. But if you are just going to this blind with no previous experience of New Japan, your reaction to that is going to be, oh, no, that's nothing. She came out to absolute silence. This was a terrible mistake.
Yeah, 100%. To me, it's weird. And the thing is, I know that other like YouTube comments and things have fallen into this trap as well, where people get into wrestling at different points in their life.
Yeah, absolutely.
And at different times. Like, you know, I saw, what was it, on the Best of WrestleTalk 2022 video, someone commented to me like, 2022 was the year I discovered WrestleTalk. And I was like, oh, yeah. Like, people, new fans come in all the time.
I know. I look past that. I'm really guilty of doing that. Yeah. And even then, when I was just saying then, like, I sort of assumed all of us did the same thing. That's just me from my own, like, personal experience.
Exactly,
and, like, you know,
yeah,
the journey that this channel has gone on.
Yeah.
And that's sort of me, with my own blinkered view sets, not looking at sort of, like, the wider thing. Exactly. I said this to Ollie on the predictions video. I often forget that there are people who got into wrestling during the 3-hour Raw period.
Yeah.
So to them, that is what Raw is. It's a 3-hour show.
Yeah.
And even though, actually, when you think about it, then, like, if you got into wrestling in 2011, 2012, your view mindset is that WWE is the only large company, because you weren't there for not only WCW and ECW, but even
That's me.
Even TNA. Like, you didn't even see that rise of TNA. And, like, you know, when they got onto Spike TV and they went head-to-head with Raw and absolutely tanked and it failed.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, that was, oh, there's legit competition towards WWE. But if you are, like, a 2012, 2013, 2014 fan, like, and onwards, that's the only company. And I suddenly was like, oh, that makes sense why people have been so anti-AEW or don't understand, like, the importance of AEW and things like that. And it's kind of been, it's very interesting for me to kind of realize some of that. And learn some of this. And I think that's also been, you know, a realization I've come to as well with all the response to the Sasha Banks thing. Because I think you can remove... it's, and while I find that bit more interesting, I would say you can certainly remove the bad faith takes.
Absolutely. You can always take out bad faith takes.
Always remove those. The people that are just like, oh, she's, you know, she's on a smaller stage now. Like, this is...
lol, she's in an indie promotion, you know.
That sort of thing, yes. Yeah. Like, it's the Tokyo Dome. Like, it was like, you know, it's 40,000 people. Yeah. Like, I don't think it were 40,000 people for this show because there's still COVID restrictions and things like that. But it's still, it's the Tokyo Dome.
Tokyo Dome. Gang.
Tokyo Dome's like, yeah, it's massive.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
a big, huge, huge venue. Be like, well, a bingo hall there. She's jumped herself across to. But it's interesting when I was kind of go through, like, you know, this one here, her debut was so whack. Well, you know, this is an interesting one. Was so whack. It reminded me of those lame TNA debuts in the mid-2000s when an old WWE guy would come across as a Walmart rip-off version of themselves.
Interesting.
New Japan debuts are almost always a bit awkward for whatever reason.
I thought it was a pretty lame debut, to be honest. The theme song is atrocious and nicknames are cringe-inducing. As excited for this, for both Monet and the promotions, my read of the debut was Sasha Banks walks a little awkwardly down to the ring. She cuts a mediocre promo and botches a move.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there are people there. It's a big effing deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the wrestling in the pay-per-view, but honestly, as soon as the match ended, I went to the bathroom.
I think both of them are correct. You know, that I think objectively speaking, the debut wasn't necessarily fantastic, but it's also incredibly significant. It's a really big deal that this happened. Yeah.
Do you know what? I'm going to read this comment out, and I'm going to shout out this person as well. This is from Chris Barnes. In the immortal words of Bobby Fish, where's the lie? Stream.
Great comment.
That's a great comment.
Fantastic.
That's comment of the day. Thank comment you very, very much.
Put in a little graphic.
I'm not doing that.
Okay.
This one as well. Lucky British people, you don't have to wake up till 3 a.m. for this debut. Oh, I mean, do we for every other show, though.
Literally. Every other show. Every show that isn't Clash at the Castle.
So yeah, I checked online as well, and there was, outside of the bad faith takes that are just angry that she's not gone back to WWE.
Yeah,
it's not gone over as big as it could have been. You know, we got the match announcement. She's gonna have her first match in February on American soil, and that is, you know, the whole reason that Bushiroad have been pushing for Frankie Monet, Mercedes Monet to sign with them. There are certain things I've got to get out of my head. Frankie Monet being one of them, a name I never said because I didn't review NXT.
Yeah.
I interviewed her when she was Ty of Valkyrie.
Yeah.
And Sasha Banks. These names I've got to try and move out.
Yeah.
What was I saying? So yeah, like they were making big pushes for her because they want to expand out in the West. They want to do more of the New Japan Strong stuff that they're doing. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, they want to have women's wrestling on the show. So we've got Stardom, we've got those, but we need like that recognizable name that we can almost build stuff around. We've got that with Kairi. She's had WWE exposure. Now we have got Banks, and the reported money that she's making for this is a lot. No pun intended, she's making bank.
There it is. I was going to say it.
From this venture, Dave Meltzer reported that she is making more per appearance than Chris Jericho did for his Wrestle Kingdom, for his New Japan appearances. And Jericho was making $100,000 an appearance. She's making more than $100,000 per appearance that she's doing for New Japan Pro Wrestling. So kind of like when you have our title of this, did she, you know, make a mistake by leaving WWE? Like the simple answer is like, well, no, because she's making $100,000 an appearance. That is way more money than she would have made in WWE.
Easily.
Easily so. Because even if she does like 4 appearances, that's probably still 10 times more than she would have made wrestling in WWE. As an exaggeration, but it's a hell of a lot more money.
It's a lot of money, and I mean, that aspect cannot be overlooked. This is something that is going to, one, make her very happy, because it's something she wants to do, and two, make her a lot of money. So everyone says, well, she could have done whatever. It's like, nothing else matters. She's happy, she's making money. That's it. That's the bottom line. Because Mercedes Monet said so. Sorry. there's nothing else much to it. And I think any other criticisms from her decision stems from a fan perspective. Like, well, I wanted to see this other thing. And I was like, yeah, but you don't get to make those choices.
Yeah, I mean, you can just like go through Wrestle Cringe's Twitter feed to see, like, you know, because Wrestle Cringe is, you know, a very, very fine Twitter follow anyway. But like, you know, they've literally got like screen caps of people being like, can't wait for them to go back. Can't wait for Sasha Banks. This will be the reaction when Sasha Banks never come back. Can't wait to go back. Then they're debuting, like, they were never that good to begin with. not real stars when you think about it. Like, those are the proper like bad faith takes that you can sort of push to one side. The other bit of news, I suppose, from this is that she was not announced as the tag partner for Saraya on next week's AEW Dynamite, which has sort of been the reported case. It was going to be Mercedes Monet as the tag partner. That's sort of been rumored for a long time. Tony Khan was quite coy about the question when he was asked about this on Grapsody in December. You know, they even pointed out, like, if it was anyone, like, if it was a Tony Storm, he would have just said it's a Tony Storm. And Fightful's report was that everyone backstage expects it. Like, no one has got it confirmed, but everyone expects it to be Monet. Mm-hmm. However, on this week's Dynamite, they instead announced that it is, in fact, Toni Storm. It is Saraya and Toni Storm. Saraya chose Storm over Shida to be her tag team partner.
Unless, of course.
So, I mean, you did this on the Rest Talk News on Thursday. So take us through this, because there's a graphic and everything. They announced that is the match. But is that the match?
Immediately before Dynamite, I believe this was, I've forgotten his name. It's from DAZN, Mühlhausen. He reported that it is going to be Mercedes Moné as Saraya's tag team partner. And considering that is a pretty, like, and he's saying, like, I've known this for a while, but I couldn't report it until her January 1st contract with WWE actually expired. So now I can confirm it. This is definitely the plan. As concrete, a report on something as you pretty much can get without it being like an announcement from a promotion itself. And to me, that just means then the Toni Storm announcement is a red herring. It is just like, we're going to say it's this, but actually we're going to do this other thing next week.
Surprise.
And then, Mercedes Moné is going to come in and join AEW, which again, I think people are going to have mixed reactions to.
I think they will do as well. I was actually thinking about this when, you know, they announced Toni Storm. Mm-hmm. And my first thought was like, maybe they'll do an angle next week and it'll still be Moné. But then I was thinking, I was like, but if it isn't, like if it is just Toni Storm, you can still like get hyped about Moné going to AEW because there'll be Forbidden Door 2. And like, maybe actually that's almost like a more appealing thing, which is just like, well, she's not a featured star of the company. I mean, she's probably going to be a feature. She's not going to get the All Elite graphic because I believe she's, you know, signed this deal with New Japan Pro Wrestling. This is just the relationship between AEW and New Japan. But if you save Forbidden Door 2, that's Mercedes Moné's like AEW debut, if it is. And that's just the featured match on the card. It's Moné versus, let's be honest, Britt Baker.
Yeah, probably.
Or like, you know, Moné versus Jamie Hayter, and you do champ versus champion. And like, that is also like a really big time match that you can put on a card that doesn't require you to have her be the surprise tag partner for Saraya on Dynamite.
Yeah, and the thing is, if they don't have Moné as the surprise tag partner and everyone's like, oh, it's not AEW's fault necessarily.
Because they advertise Toni Storm. If they advertise Toni Storm and deliver you Toni Storm, then they gave you what they advertised.
They said, it's a mystery tag partner. And then 1 week out, they said, here's the reveal of who that is.
Yeah.
Without the speculation from fans online, there is no expectation for it to be Moné. It's just as soon as it announced, oh, it's Moné. And then if it's not, AEW's just gone, uh-oh. Oh, dear.
Oh, no. Let's just say it's Toni Storm now.
We just have to say it's Toni Storm.
Yeah. Particularly after she debuted in New Japan. And that's going to just further the speculation even more that 100%. It's going to be Moné. So you're like, let's just nip this in the bud.
Yeah.
It's Toni Storm.
Yeah. And the thing is, I know all of us will say it, and we will fall into the camp of being like, this is disappointing because we wanted more, but it is also not AEW's fault if fans have expected something that they have never promised.
No.
You know?
They just advertised it was a mystery partner.
Yes.
And you can certainly make the argument of like, well, why did you do it as a mystery partner thing? Because this has been done to set up a storyline between Storm and Shida. Because Shida is now pissed that Saraya picked her. Like, Saraya literally says in the promo, I picked the best wrestler that we have. I picked Toni Storm. And Shida was like, what now? Sorry, what part?
I'm sitting right here.
Yeah. So that's you have the mystery partner set up so that you can do this storyline here.
Yeah.
So it's not even a bait and switch thing. It's set up and payoff.
Yeah, it's an actual story.
It's a storyline.
That fans have potentially hijacked and gone, well, I want this other thing.
Yeah.
And now you're not doing that. Well, screw you.
Dave Meltzer said, I'm resting. When he was dying, he was like, man, if it's anyone other than Sasha Banks, it's going to be a disappointment. It's like, Dave, you're part of the problem.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
So you know, I think we could certainly look at the money aspect of things. If, you know, did she make the right choice here? I would certainly say from a money aspect, 100%.
Oh yeah.
The other aspect, you could say that she made the right decision in order to not re-sign with WWE and go to New Japan Pro Wrestling and sign, you know, do Stardom and stuff, is that she is making waves in Hollywood. She is a bit of a sought after Hollywood figure. She has. It's not a starring role in The Mandalorian. She is in The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
That is the politest way I could put it. Mm-hmm. She has been in The Mandalorian.
Yes.
But that's, you know, that's a start. Mm. Batista was in a lot of bad movies before he became Dave Batista, A-list Hollywood megastar.
Yeah.
The Rock did a lot, but The Rock's was slightly different because The Rock basically just went through the territory system and was just like, okay, I will do whatever you tell me to do so I can make a name for myself and then I can just build up from there and then from there. And he paid his dues and that's what he did. Dave did it a very different way, which is just like, oh no, I just really enjoy acting. So I'll just, you know, oh, is this a crap movie with Rob Van Damme? Yeah, fine, I'll do that. And then through that, made the right connections. And now he is Dave Bautista, big Hollywood megastar. Like Mercedes Moné with a much more freed up schedule where she's not on the road 6 days a week, 5-6 days a week, can do these meetings and can make movies, make TV shows. This might be the best option for her in terms of being a actor or you know, or something along those lines.
Absolutely, yeah, because as you mentioned, the WWE schedule is so restrictive, and obviously there's only certain people that can go out and do outside projects outside of the company as is. Obviously that's probably going to be a little bit more lenient with Triple H and Power, but even so, like it just time wise the schedule is so restrictive that you don't have the luxury to be able to do as many of those projects as you might like to do, because you still have responsibilities in the company to be like, no, I need to do, you know, X amount of appearances this year or whatever, and I can't just spend an entire year off or 2 years off just filming various different bits and pieces.
I mean, that's the story with Cena and The Rock at the moment for Mania, is that, like, it's, you know, they want to do Roman versus Rock as one of the main events of WrestleMania, but that does depend on The Rock's movie schedule. Yeah. They want to have John Cena at WrestleMania, but it does depend on, like, he's filming something in March, I think, or like he's going to be promoting something in March, and like, you've got to work around that. And when The Rock had his second Cena match,
he got injured in that match. Like he tore, I can't remember what he did, but he injured
something.
Tore a pec or something like that. It was like that. That delayed the filming of Hercules. Hands up in the comments who remembered that The Rock made a Hercules movie, because I don't think a lot of us will remember it, because I don't think many of us saw it. But like, that delayed the movie. That cost the studio millions upon millions of dollars. You can't just be like, well, we're WWE, like it's WrestleMania, you've got to do these things, because there's bigger fish at play
and
here.
That is a very insular point of view. So, well, WrestleMania's the biggest thing, so they'll drop everything to come to WrestleMania. It's like, in the grand scheme of things, it's not actually that big.
So like, Sasha Banks having Mercedes Moné having a much more free schedule on her hands means that she can do this more freely. But you're right, like I do think that when she would have been doing the big negotiations with WWE about doing a return, she would have made this point. And I think Triple H would have been more than happy to be like, look, if you want to do outside projects, I would love you to do outside projects, because I think that's better for us as a brand, and we can promote these sorts of things. And you get to promote it on Raw, get to promote it on SmackDown, we can do X, Y, and Z. I certainly think those things would have been on the table, but the schedule, I think, would have just been too much of a sticking point. Seth Rollins has said that not everyone can do, what he basically said was, in so many words, not everyone can hack the WWE schedule, because you work an insane amount of dates working for WWE.
Yeah, and that is something that cannot be overlooked when Sasha can get, Mercedes Moné can get $100,000 plus her appearance for a different promotion that doesn't work as hard. Like,
six appearances is $600,000 at a minimum.
It's a no-brainer at that point. I think that any discussions around this that are saying that she made the wrong choice, or that she's ruined her legacy or anything like that, is one, in bad faith, and two, wrong.
I'm gonna play devil's avocado here.
Okay, go for it.
I'm gonna play devil's avocado.
Yeah.
Because going back to WWE,
yes,
would have been the biggest stage.
Sure.
I'm not saying that New Japan or Stardom is a tiny stage. I'm not saying this is a bingo hall indie. Mm-hmm. It's the Tokyo Dome.
Yes.
Like, if she doesn't work with AEW, they sell out 20,000 seat buildings. You know, they do $1 million gates for their pay-per-views. Like, they are a big promotion, and it is a big platform on big networks.
Yes.
I'm not downplaying any of that. But even as big as those are, WWE is the biggest fish in the pond.
For sure.
It's the biggest platform you can possibly go back to.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly if, under the Triple H regime, if you went back, like, she would have been the tippity-top pushed star. There's every chance she would have been the person that beat Ronda Rousey. Put her on SmackDown, she beats Ronda Rousey, she's the SmackDown Women's Champion. That's your big surprise to end off 2022, rather than it being Flair wins, lol. So she would have been a megastar and would have been given megastar treatment and a megastar push. The person that walked out of the company in April, May, or whatever it was, has come back and she's here to take over, would have been arguably that return would have been bigger than her New Japan debut. In terms of optics, in terms of reaction, in terms of like online traction, I think her return to WWE would have been bigger than her debut in New Japan.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think a lot of people have an opinion on the Wrestle Kingdom debut, whether it is positive or negative. A lot of people are, this is great, I'm glad she's here, or boo hiss, she's not in WWE, etc. And their individual opinions about the debut and the significance of her leaving WWE and all the other stuff that comes as part of that package deal. I think her going back to WWE would have been a big deal for maybe like a week. It would have been like, wow, Banks is back.
Because she's
all right,
she's
now back to normal.
One of 10 returns in the last 2 months.
Yeah, it's like, okay, and back to normal. Like, Bray Wyatt came back and everyone was like, cool, for maybe a month tops.
I mean, looking at our metrics, Bray Wyatt's like interest in Bray Wyatt's return, like, huge when it happened, and then has just slowly dipped. I think it peaked when Uncle Howdy was on stage, but even then it's sort of dipped off again.
Yeah.
And also, just a reminder, that debut and the Uncle Howdy in the ring, the big gap.
Yeah. Yeah, big gap, unfortunately. So I think like the return would have been a big deal. And I agree with you with that. But I think that it would have been like, okay, it's another WWE star back in WWE. She's a wrestler. And I think she would have been just on the road like any other WWE star. I don't think she would have been treated as special as maybe, you know, as a special attraction as she is in New Japan.
I think she would have been.
I really don't think she would have been. I think she would have been a wrestler, maybe to the degree of a Charlotte Flair, in the fact that Charlotte Flair is always kind of the top of the division, regardless of what she's doing. Maybe Sasha Banks would go up to that level, but she wouldn't be like special attraction Sasha Banks.
I don't know, man. Like, I think under a Triple H watch, you know, he's the guy that gave us the Boss. Like, you know, her arguably her best run in WWE was that NXT run she had when she was the Boss. Like, I think the match she had with Belair at WrestleMania is probably the best match of her main roster run.
Yes.
But for me, the best match she had was the Bayley match at TakeOver.
Which one?
TakeOver
Brooklyn or TakeOver Respect?
TakeOver Brooklyn.
They're both wonderful.
Sorry, I you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I don't know. Respect is the one where she did make Izzy cry.
Okay, so
it's Brooklyn.
I was thinking about this the other day. The TakeOver Brooklyn match is the Bayley match. The TakeOver Respect match is the Banks match.
Well, it's Banks' farewell match to NXT, really, I suppose, in a way. But I think the Brooklyn match for me is like, that's the tippity top. That's the best that Sasha was in WWE. In terms of presentation and character and this, that, and the other, I think that she would have got that again under a Triple H-led regime. I think she would have been not only just presented as a megastar, but also like WWE is the company with all the momentum at the moment. That is the one that fans are really, really into at the moment. AEW had a very bad 2022, certainly a bad second half of 2022. And people might even argue three quarters of the year because the New Japan stuff did kind of dip a lot of people out of the show and people were very critical of it. Then there was all the Ring of Honor stuff. Then there's Brawl Out. And 2022, not a great year for AEW. New Japan have had a bad few years. COVID really, really hurt them. But not just COVID, the Elite leaving.
Yeah.
Really, really hurt New Japan. So they had to spend all of 2019 rebuilding because they lost Kenny, they lost the Bucks, they lost Cody, they lost Paige. Had to rebuild everything. And then COVID hit and that just destroyed everything that they were building.
Yeah.
And it's felt like Wrestle Kingdom 17 on January 4th of 2023 is the first time that New Japan have had like the, oh, cool, we need to all check out Wrestle Kingdom.
When it felt like New Japan again, when it felt like a proper Wrestle Kingdom.
Absolutely, bloody exactly, because it was, you know, oddly was down to the rumors of Mercedes Moné, Kenny Omega being on this show. Because I know that people were into Okada Jay White, but we've done Okada Jay White a lot, and Okada Jay White has never been as hot as doing Okada Tanahashi over and over again, or Okada Omega, you know, four times. Okada White has never been as hot as that other previous big Okada feuds have been. So really, like Omega wrestling Will Ospreay and Mercedes Moné being there, I think were huge, huge draws for Wrestle Kingdom. So New Japan now, I've got a really good, like, you know, first base here that they can try and rise back up from so they can get to the levels of popularity they had a handful of years ago.
Yeah.
But they've got to make that ascent. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, maybe that's why Mene wants to be a part of that. As I said, I'm just playing devil's avocado here. WWE, on the other hand, it's already there.
Mm-hmm.
And it is like they are on a crest of momentum. And I only think that momentum is getting higher and higher and higher and hotter and hotter and hotter as we get into the first Triple H booked Rumble, the first Triple H booked Elimination Chamber, and the first Triple H booked WrestleMania.
Mm.
I think WWE is going to have an incredibly strong 4 months coming up, and I think they can ride that for the rest of the year and then just build up from there. So to play devil's avocado, that might be, in terms of if you're trying to make a name for yourself, a better option than doing New Japan and starting at the bottom.
I think if you wanted to get eyes on yourself for a Western audience, the best thing you could do would be to go back to WWE. I don't think that's the only factor in play, though. I think that she is already making a name for herself in the fact that she's been in various movie, TV projects, whatever, and she's already been sought after. There are reports of other companies, other studios wanting to get involved and all that stuff. So I think she's already making the progress into Hollywood and movies and TV shows that she already wants to make. And I think that her going back to WWE would be like a cool, her name's in the news cycle again, and she's in like a prominent Western wrestling promotion. Fantastic. But her being able to do the TV movie side of things already, as well as fulfilling her dream of doing Japanese wrestling at the same time, I think it's just the right choice for her.
Well, that's the argument, isn't it? It's just, you know, like it's whatever she does is always going to be the right decision for her, because like that's, as long as she's happy, she's happy, then that's absolutely 100% the right decision. It is not for us to say what is the right decision for her to make, because we are not in charge of what makes her happy.
Yeah.
And I think there is a very clear and obvious statement made by choosing to go to New Japan that this is what you want to do, is you want to go and wrestle for stardom. Mm-hmm. You want to go and wrestle those types of matches, which you can't do in WWE, because WWE has an in-house style, mm-hmm. and you must adhere to that in-house style. Whereas stardom, you can go over there and do the stardom style, and that's the style of wrestling you want to do. That also opens you up to be able to do AEW. You can go and do the AEW style of match, which is something that you want to do.
You still get eyes on a prominent Western wrestling promotion that's not WWE,
yeah.
that allows you to still do Japanese wrestling, that still allows you to have a more open schedule. It's like the best of everything.
It's the best of both worlds, and it starts here tonight.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You know, and it's a bigger audience. But, you know, Dynamite does 2/3 of the audience that Raw does. It's still a big audience that out there. And you're on TNT and on TBS. Like, if you are doing regular things with AEW, I can't imagine it will be regular things, though.
I wouldn't think so.
Because if you're in a New Japan deal, you'll come over and do like a string of shows.
But are you on a New Japan deal? Is it just like a per appearance?
But that was my understanding. But you know, we don't know the ins and outs.
We don't know.
For all we know, next week we'll have the Mercedes Moné is All Elite graphic.
Yeah. Yeah, and then she'll be there every week, and all of the points that we just made in this video are null and void.
Which is the Blackpool Combat Club way. Blackpool Content Club. I nearly said it right the first time, and I corrected myself. Do you have any last... Because I was just going through, like, you know, the list of things we wanted to discuss. Actually, maybe this will be the last one
sure.
that we can touch on, because we haven't done this. It's kind of two that we haven't... I kind of wrote down what Naomi might be going back to WWE, because that was the report from Wednesday, right? That she might be going back. Which surprises me. I always thought they would kind of be a package deal to get, or try and sell themselves as a package deal.
Potentially, yeah.
Only because they kept making all the appearances together.
Yeah. Man, good for her. Again, if that's what makes her happy and that's what she wants to do, then that's the right choice for her.
Her hubby is there.
Absolutely.
Maybe that's you know, a really big contributing factor into this, not being apart from them, which is an awful business to be a part of. But the other one I thought would be an interesting final topic for us to talk about, again, with the playing devil's avocado things, is leaving WWE worked out for Cody Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliantly for Cody Rhodes, one might argue. Him being fired from WWE was the best thing that could have happened for his WWE career. Same with Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
You could certainly make the argument that it's the best thing that happened. John Moxley leaving WWE was the best decision that he ever made, because it has worked out brilliantly for him in AEW. I don't know if you could make the same argument for Danielson, but I think Danielson had a very, very good end of 2021. The injury kind of hampered some of his 2022, but he is starting 2023 strong. But there are lads and lasses that had left WWE and have gone to places like AEW, and it hasn't worked out well for them.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out the grass was not as green on the other side as sort of like that might have been promised. I'm looking at guys like Andrade, guys like, you know, reportedly Malakai Black, you know, apparently he was very, very creatively frustrated. Guys like Miro, you know, who hasn't been on TV for months. And the report was that creative was pitched to him and he didn't like it, refused to do it. And now he's just sat at home. It does not work out for everyone. So I just wanted to put that out there as a discussion topic of, do we like... It's hard to phrase this into a question, I suppose. It was more of a point to make, is it doesn't work out for everyone. Like, I saw a few comments yesterday, and I think this might have been what like tipped me off to mention this. A lot of people being like, this won't work out for you. You'll cry and go back to Hunter. And, you know, there was a lot of reports about Banks in WWE about her being unhappy with creative. That's why she walked out of the company. But, you know, remember the reports of like her... crying when they lost the tag belts at WrestleMania because that was creatively frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, if you get the bad creative elsewhere, do you end up being just as frustrated there and then end up going back to WWE anyway?
Or does she make a lot of money from these appearances and then never wrestle again because she's done what she wanted to do? I don't know. Like, she seemed, from things I've seen, when she was on, like, the Stone Cold podcast, the Broken Skull sessions or whatever it is, and she was saying, like, I've paid my dues, you know? I've had the I'm thankful to be here part of my career now, and I'm now at the point where it's like, I know my worth. So I'm going to tell you what I'm worth. And if you don't want to do that, then I'm not going to do it. And she's now, it seems like she's kind of done like, I've done this bit, I'm on to the next bit. And once I've done that, I'll do someone else. So I don't think it's as simple as, well, if she leaves AEW, then she's obviously going to go back to WWE. She might just be like, cool, I've done the wrestling thing. I'm going to go on to movies or whatever now.
Yeah.
And that's it. And
you've made your money.
She'll probably be happy with that.
Yeah, you've made your money. Like, it's what people always said about Punk. Like, when Punk left in 2014, it was like, he doesn't have to ever wrestle again because he's very smart with his money. And, like, you know, like on the Cabana podcast, the podcast that no one should talk about, he basically, he like casually dropped in that he just lost a check that WWE had sent him for merchandise. That was like a massive, like, six-figure check or something that he just didn't cash and then had to, like, because he just misplaced it. That level of money is nothing to him.
Yeah.
If I misplaced a check that had six figures on it, I would be searching high and low for that thing.
I would be despondent.
I would not be able to talk to anyone for ages. I would just be so sad that I've lost a misplaced six figures. But for Punk, it was like, huh, look what I just found.
Yeah.
It's another one of those, is it?
Yeah.
So he's made his money. And, like, that was always the thing about him. It was like, he doesn't have to wrestle again because he's made his money. He's been very smart. If he wants to do it, he can do, but he doesn't ever have to. Maybe you're right with Banks. Like, it's, you know, she'll get to a point where she's like, do you know what? I've made my money. I want to go and try this. I may never have to do this again.
And the thing is as well, you mentioned a couple of people that left WWE and then came back and it was the best thing they had for their WWE careers. If she does want to go back at some point, I don't think it will be like I'm going to cry and go back to Hunter. It will be like, cool, I've done the thing I wanted to do. I can go back to WWE now as a bigger name than when I left.
Yeah, no one ever said like, oh, Drew just cried and went back to...
Yeah.
Yeah, Cody just cried. Not. I mean, Cody did cry.
And then Cody went back. Does cry.
He does cry a lot.
He does cry a lot.
But not in the same...
Not the same context.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought that'd be an interesting talking point there, just to sort of like, you know, it's what the show's about.
Mm.
Putting ideas. Discussion. Putting these ideas out there. To kind of wrap things up, though, you know, did she make the right decision to leave WWE?
Yes.
I certainly say from a money aspect, yeah.
Mm.
Granted, I don't think the debut was as strong
as
it perhaps could have been. But there are a lot of factors working against it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you made the point earlier, and I think this is the best point that has been made on this, is the idea of it was like, you know, the execution wasn't great. The idea is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And that idea can actually carry you forward onto other and bigger and better things. And this could be like, you know, 2023, we're only starting. You know, the year is starting, and already we've got like huge news.
Mm-hmm.
Sasha Banks has signed with New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah.
That is massive, massive news. And there's every chance she's going to be in AEW next week.
Mm-hmm.
That, again, is massive news. It's 2 weeks into the new year, and we're already like, crikey, what else can this year throw up? And
lots of stuff.
I really feel like we are just getting started. I really do feel like, and there's going to be another one of those mad years of wrestling, and I'm here for it, and I'm very, very excited about it. But this is, I'm very curious to know what people make of this. And I'm very curious to know what you have to say about this in the comments down below. So do leave your comment about, what do you think? I mean, answer the question yourself. Let us know your thoughts on the debut. Let us know your thoughts on the reactions to the debut as well and why you think it might have been as mixed. Do you think it is just WWE stands? Or do you just think it's first exposure to New Japan Pro Wrestling? Let us know what you think. Send us an email and all that sort of good jazz. We'll be back next week with another one of these Blackpool content clubs. A full lineup should be with us next week. I shouldn't really say that in case.
Yeah, don't ever advertise. That's false advertising.
That's right there. Right there. Absolutely. It's me and Tony Storm next week. It's not. I thought I'd put out there before anyone.
Just to clarify.
Yeah, just to clarify. But tomorrow will be the SmackDown review done by Pete Quinnell. Pete Quinnell returns to SmackDown.
Yay.
Just as Charlotte Flair wins the title, you're going back to SmackDown.
Thanks, Tempest.
It's Pete and Sat doing the SmackDown review next week.
That will be fun because Sat's amazing.
And then it'll be me and you doing Raw on Tuesday. Myself and Ollie Davis doing AEW with potentially that Mercedes Moné debut on Thursday. So please do subscribe to this channel if you haven't already and you've made it this far. We are nearing, because we had such a very good December, 70,000 subscribers, which means we are on our way to doing the Royal Rumble randomizer.
Mm.
It's tantalizingly close now.
Mm.
Last I checked, we were like 500 off.
Oh, yeah.
Could do that this month.
Potentially.
Tell your friends. Maybe we'll get it done this month.
That'd be cool.
So help us out. And, you know, press the thumbs up on this button and all that good jazz. Thank you for watching. We will see you next time here on the WrestleTalk podcast channel. I have been Luke Owen, DAD, your Quizzlemania and Jam That Championship. It is on the floor. That has been Chopper Pete Quinnell. Jam That Jam.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.